Morning. Today's daf from Sachem daf Chaf Dalet. A continuation of a discussion now that I think is going to take us. It's our fourth day of talking about, which is Yisra of Hanah by Chametz. Torah says that Chametz is Asr by Achila. Torah says that Chametz is Asr for ownership. The Torah does not say that Chametz is Asr by Hanah, and yet we know that it's Asr by Hanah. There's one opinion that we saw over the course of the discussion the past number of days, that of Rav Yosef Aglili, who says that Chametz is not Asr by Hanah, but that it's rather it's Mutar by Hanah, but that's a Das Yachid, that's a singular opinion. The general consensus is that Chametz is Asr by Hanah, that's in fact the accepted halacha, that Chametz is in fact Asr by Hanah. And the question on the table is, Mehechi Teisi, how do I know? How do I know that Chametz is Asr by Hanah? So let's quickly review what we basically have seen over the course of the past 4 days. Just a very brief review, because really today we're going to sum it up. A summary statement coming up, and we start today's daf with a summary statement, followed then by an alternative approach. But let's right now set ourselves up for the summary statement. So we saw already the Torah describing the Issur of Chametz with the words Lo ye achel chametz. One is not allowed to eat chametz. And now there was a basic machlokas between the Amoraim, between Rabbi Abao and Chizkiah. What exactly does the Torah is trying to communicate when it says Lo ye achel? They both agree, Rabbi Abao and Chizkiah, that when the Torah says Lo ye achel in the passive, in the nifal, so what the Torah is trying to communicate to us is that there's an Issur Achila and there's an Issur Hana. Lo ye achel means not only don't eat, because the Torah could have just simply said Lo yochal or Lo sochlu, but Lo ye achel means not only don't eat, but don't allow it to be a causation of eating. So that means that the chametz itself, if I sell it and I get money and I can take the money and I buy food, so the chametz will be then a causation of eating as well. So don't eat it and don't let it cause eating as well. So there's an Issur Achila and there's an Issur Hana and there's a prohibition to benefit from the chametz as well. That is where Rabbi Abao and Chizkiah agree. Where do they disagree? They disagree in a case where the Torah just simply says, Lo sochlu, don't eat it, or Lo yochal, or anything that just indicates eating. So there's a machlokas between Rabbi Abao and Chizkiah. Chizkiah says that only means there's an Issur Achila. That's it. And Rabbi Abao says no. That when the Torah says lo sochal or lo yochlu, whatever verb it uses that describes not eating, and regardless of how it's conjugated, according to Rabbi Abao, it includes both Achila and Hana. So it sounds like we have what is a very fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Abao and Chizkiah in terms of what exactly is going to be included in the Issur of Achila. Is it just Achila? That's Chizkiah. Or is it Achila and Hana? That's Rabbi Abao. Okay, that's step one in our summary statement. Step two in our summary statement is, well, what about Nevela? Meaning, Nevela is almost a perfect example where the Torah says you're not allowed to eat Nevela. Nevela is an animal that didn't experience a proper Shechita, died without the benefit of a proper Shechita. It's now under the category of Nevela. It's a law in the Torah, prohibition of the Torah to eat Nevela. The Torah describes Nevela with the words Lo Yochal. It takes us all the way back to the beginning. So, and at the same time, the Torah always or also says, by the way, the pasuk is lo sochlu kol nevela, lagir asher b'sherechet tinenu. And then the Torah says, and oh, by the way, when you have nevela, you know what you do with it? The proper way of getting rid of nevela is either by giving it to a ger or selling it to a guy. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, the Torah is really not that specific. The Torah doesn't really mind if we give it to a ger, sell it to a ger, give it to a goy, sell it to a goy. It's just that the Torah is just giving us a pecking order. But in other words, basically, give it away, and even or sell it, even though you're going to get benefit from doing so. That's fine. So in other words, according to Rabbi Meir's understanding of Nevela, here the Torah tells us that it's also b'achila, and at the same time, the Torah also tells us it's mutar b'hanah. You're allowed to get benefit from it. So in other words, then this, as the Gemara pointed out, is reflective of Rabbi Abao's viewpoint. Meaning Rabbi Abao says that the default setting of the Torah is that when the Torah says you're not allowed to eat, it means you're not allowed to eat and you're not allowed to benefit. But then if the Torah goes out of its way to say, but here you are allowed to benefit, so then here you're allowed to benefit. That is Nevela, according to Rabbi Abao, according to Rabbi Meir. Now, we also pointed out, what about Rabbi Yehuda? How did Rabbi Yehuda understand the Torah when the Torah says, give it to a ger or sell it to a goy? So Rabbi Yehuda's position was, going back to Chaf Alef Amud Beis, Dvarim Kich Savam, which means the Torah was very specific. Either I gift it to a ger, of course here meaning ger toshav, because we're talking about nevela, I gift it to a ger or I sell it to a guy. But in other words, Rav Yehuda says it's not just a blanket heter hana. The Torah is very specific in terms of what we want you to do, what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do with a nevela. So where, according to Rav Yehuda, where do we see that the Torah gives us the yester achila and then gives us a straightforward heter hana? So for that he says trefa. The answer is very simple. In other words, and then you go back to the, and you go to the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. So what does the pasuk say regarding trefa? That if I have a trefa, what do I do with it? Lekelef tashlichun oso. Give it to the dog. Meaning I'm not allowed to eat it, but the Torah goes out of its way to say, give it to the dog. So that's another example in the Torah where the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it, but then the Torah also explicitly mentions that you are allowed to get benefit from it. That's, you're allowed to get hana from it. But again, the default position of the Torah seems to be that without the special heter, it'd be asur b'achila uvehana. Okay, so machlokis between Rabbi Abao and Chizkia. Machlokis between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, whether or not the Torah gives us a blanket heter for nevela. Okay, so far that is all by way of review. Then what the Gemara proceeded to do for Chaf Beis and Chaf Gimel is basically go through every one of the Isuri Achila in the Torah. There is, I think, about 10 of them. I didn't count. Where the Torah says that there are also Achila, and each and every time we go through an example, the Gemara notes, this is not going to be a practical difference between Rabbi Abao and Chizkiah. For one reason or another, we're going to all be in agreement that in this case it's going to be both Achila and Hana. In this case, it's just going to be Achila, based on various Psukim, based on various Hakeshos. Whatever the case was, every one of the cases that we brought down, every single one, the Gemara ends up saying, no, this is not going to end up being a practical difference. So even though conceptually there's a major machlokas between Rabbi Abba and Chizkia, but practically speaking, as we went through every one of the examples, the Gemara just kept deflecting. No, this is an exception. And which now, on the bottom, on the back end of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, now we're going to start the Gemara asking a very straightforward question. So after enjoying two dapim of this discussion, three dapim of this discussion, so now let's see if we can wrap all this up. Meaning, so, and let's start with the Gemara inside. We're on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. We are Michti. The Gemara Michti is always the Gemara's introduction to, let's take a step back, let's take a look again. Michti. Ozvina kohani kri v'shaninu. Chizkiah v'Rabbi Abao b'mai pligi. So the Gemara says, we went through a lot of psukim, we asked a lot of questions. So first of all, where do they argue? Meaning, it's funny, we know the answer to this question. This is not the Gemara is not here asking a new question, the Gemara is just basically setting us up. So, b'chametz b'pesach v'ali b'derabanan, and b'shor niska v'ali b'dedivrei akol. So first of all, the two cases where they're going to argue, at least conceptually, is chametz and shor niska. Because in both of those cases, the Torah says the words ye'achel. So ye'achel tells me that they both agree that there's going to be an Isra Achila and an Isra Na, because in both of these cases, the Torah says the words Ye'achal. So, V'aliba D'divrei Akol. Chizkiah Nafagle Me Lo Ye'achal. Now, Chizkiah says, how do I know there's an Isra Na? I know that from Lo Ye'achal. Rabbi Abao Nafagle Me Nevela. And Rabbi Abao says, yeah, I agree with you, but that's not what we learned it from. We learned it from Nevela. Because again, Nevela was the case in the Torah where the Torah says you're not allowed to eat something, and then the Torah had to go out of its way to say, oh, but make sure that you give it to a ger or sell it to a guy. But again, like Rabbi Meir says, not with any particular hakpada, meaning you're allowed to get benefit from it. So, again, it comes out now that according to Rabbi Abao and according to Chizkiah, we're not allowed to get benefit from chametz and shor niska. It's just a question of where do we generate that halacha from? Is it from the verbiage of lo ye'achel, that's Chizkiah, or according to Rabbi Abahu, it's from the Isra in the Torah of Nevela, where the Torah had there has to go out of its way to tell us that's mutar b'hana. So, mechti.
Does Abahu say that any kind of ochel is a dual provision anyway, so is it more general than Chizkiah?
It is, but, okay, wait just one second. Let the Gemara just set itself up. So, mechti. Bein lamar, sir b'hana. So the Gemara says, okay, so they're arguing about where we generate the halacha from. But when all is said and done, when the day is finally over, Bein Lamar, Asur Bana. They both arrive at the same conclusion. Chametz is an Isser Hana. Shor HaNiskal is an Isser Hana. So, my Beinayu. So the question really now begs itself. So what practical difference is there between Chizkiya and Rabbi Abbahu? At what point do they disassociate from one another? Lamaisa, in practical terms. So the Gemara says, Ika Beinayu, Chulin Shenishchutu Ba'azara. So the one case where they are going to disagree is Chulin Shenishchutu Ba'azara. Now, we already discussed this, and the idea of Chulin Shenishchutu Ba'azara is, again, just quickly to review, the idea that the Torah tells me that if I have a carbon, I shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash. That the Torah speaks about in very specific terms. That if one of the Yisurim in the Torah, and not only is it's an Isser Kares. Shchut Echut, taking a carbon, shechting it outside the Beis HaMikdash, is subject to Kares. Kares penalty. What about taking a non-carbon and shechting it in the Azara? Right? So I went the other way. So is that an Isser in the Torah? Unclear. There's no pasuk in the Torah that clearly speaks to this as being an Isser, and so it's subject to a basic machlokes, Tanayim, whether or not this is an Isser Daraisa, or it's not an Isser Daraisa. So the Gemara says that this scenario of Chulin Shenishchutu Ba'azara, this is going to be the case, the singular case where there's going to be a practical difference between Chizkiya and Rabbi Abbahu. Chizkiya says, "Lo yachel lemute ani." So now Chizkiya says that the words "lo yachel" that excludes these meaning chametz and shorniska. That's where that's his derivation of "lo yachel." Also is a pasuk by Treifa, right? Like "kelef tishluchun oso lemute echun shenishchutu ba'azara." Meaning, I'm allowed to benefit from Treifa, but what am I not allowed to benefit from? I'm not allowed to benefit from another Isser in the Torah. Well, what's the other Isser in the Torah? Now remember, this is Chizkiya we're talking about. And when it comes to any other Isser where it says Lo Sochlu, there's only an Isser Achila, there's no Isser Hana. So what would be the only other case in the Torah where the Torah doesn't coin the phrase eating Achila, and there's both an Isser Achila and an Isser Hana? Chulin Shereshchutu Ba'azara. That's the case according to Chizkiya. So therefore we have, according to Chizkiya now, three scenarios where there would be an Isser Achila and an Isser Hana. Chametz, Shor HaNiskal, both of those are derived from the fact that the Torah says Yeyachel, and Chulin Shenishchutu Ba'azara. And how do I know that? Not by an explicit mention in the Torah, but by inference based on the Pasuk in Treifa. The Torah regarding Treifa says, Lakelem Tishlechuno, so Treifa you give to the dog, but something else you're not allowed to give to the dog, and that something else is Chulin Shenishchutu Ba'azara. Remember, we spoke about this a couple days ago. What's the relationship between Chulin Shenishchutu Ba'azara and Treifa? So Rashi, a couple days ago, explained. I'm just going to reiterate. So Rashi said, because the idea of Treifa is an idea of breach of war, right? Because part of the Isser of Treifa, as described in the Torah, is, let's say, something is Chutz Mimichitzaso. The example that Rashi gave, as per the Gemara in Chulin, is, let's say, you shecht an animal, there's a fetus inside, and right before you shechted the animal, a limb of the fetus protruded outside of the womb of the mother. In other words, into the air, into airspace. And then I shecht the mother. So the Torah says, you know how we're going to describe that limb that was outside? That limb is called a treifa. It says, the Torah refers to it as a treifa. So so you see that part of the idea of treifa is b'chus mechitzaso. It's a breach of war. So here also, chulin shenishchutu ba'azara also is a breach of war. The other way. But in other words, I take chulin and I'm shechting it inside the azara, a place I shouldn't have shechted it. So that's the relationship, and that's how we inferred chulin shenishchutu ba'azara from the pasuk of lakelef tishlechuno
so. Why is Chizkiya adding the third one?
There's only two lo yeachals, and then he's not adding a third one. Is that it comes out according to him that there's only going to be one other scenario, and that is chulin shenishchutu ba'azara. Not because the Torah says it explicitly, but he learns it from the pesukim regarding treifa. Rabbi Abbahu savar osa lamutehani. Now Rabbi Abbahu says no. The osa is coming to exclude all of the above. Remember, according to Rabbi Abbahu, it's the heter hana by treifa which sets the stage for all the other isurim. All the other surim are asur behana, because again, according to Rabbi Abbahu, the isur achila speaks to Isar Chila and Isar Ana. And Chulin Shenishchetu Ba'azara Lav Daraisa Ninu. And what about Chulin Shenishchetu Ba'azara? Meaning, I've already now taken the pasuk of Lakelav Tashlichon Osao. I no longer have a drasha opportunity with that pasuk. So the Gemara says, fine. He is of the opinion that Chulin Shenishchetu Ba'azara is not Isar Daraisa. And so because it's not Isar Daraisa, there's no drasha to speak about it, being that it's not Isar Daraisa. Okay. Adkan, so when all said and done, I know it's not. Maybe it may be a sabana, but only on a Darabanan level.
Because then there wouldn't even be enough
community there. Right. Lamaisa. Right. The payoff, when all said and done, the machlokus in concept is strong. It's a major machlokus. When the Torah prohibits me to eat something, does that mean eat or eat and benefit? So it sounds like a very big machlokus between Rabbi Abba and Chizkiah, but when all said and done, and we've just now formally concluded the Gemara's discussion, the payoff is not that big. Meaning the whole payoff of this machlokus is basically chulin shenishchetu ba'azara. And as Rabbi Tushwal pointed out, it may be that on a Durabban level they may even agree. So it's not a huge payoff for the machlokus, but the Gemara says that's basically where we end up on in terms of the machlokus between a Chizkiah and a Bo regarding the Isra Achila in the Torah. Okay. Now, we are going to not digress, we're going to stay on topic, but from here till about the top of Chav Dalet Amud Beis, nearly the entirety of today's daf, basically the Gemara is going to find another avenue to arrive at this conclusion. The conclusion is Chametz is Asur Ba'ana. How do I know that? So far we have two date, as we start the second parak, two basic options. So far we have the Rabbi Abba option, which is the Torah says don't eat it. And once the Torah says don't eat it, it means don't eat and don't benefit. That's one option. We have the Chizkiah option, which is the Torah says Ye'achel. Ye'achel tells me that not only am I not allowed to eat chametz, but I'm not allowed to be causation of eating, meaning I'm not allowed to benefit from it. So those are our two basic paths that we go down. If you remember, Rav Yossi Aglili chose neither of the two. Rav Yossi Aglili says that chametz is muter bahana. Okay, but as we pointed out, he's a das yachid. So basically now, for the duration of today, we'll hopefully go a little bit further than that, we're going to basically take us down another avenue to get us to the conclusion that chametz is asur bahana. Now, this avenue that we're going to go down is not going to be it's not going to be a straight street. It's going to be very circuitous, and it's going to use a lot of methodology that we don't normally use in Shas, Imeinu Inyan, right? We're familiar, we've heard this type of methodology used earlier in Shas, but it's not going to be clean and simple. It's going to get a little bit complicated. And with that stated, let's start. Let's start now.
What do you think is...
Well, you'll see. You're going to see. Yasiv ha'umei rabbanan kamei de rabbi shmo ban achmein of yasiv ha'kamar, mishmei de rabbi shu ben levi. Okay, so a discussion amongst the Amorayim, all of them sitting in front of Rabbi Yeshua. Malevi minayin lechol yisur shabatora dihechi, da asurim b'achila ha'chinami asurim b'hana. So that when the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat it, it also means that you're not allowed to benefit from it. U'mayni u'chametz b'pesach v'shor ha'niskal. And two notable examples are chametz and shor ha'niskal, where the Torah says don't eat, and by don't eat, we mean don't eat and don't benefit. Minayin. So how do I know that there's nisar or no? Now, at this point in time, it's a funny question to us. What do you mean, how do you know? Chizkiah, Rabbi Abba. So, as you're going to see, typically, me lo ye'achel. So, maybe it's because the Torah says, lo ye'achel. So, the Gemara says, nah. Lo ye'achel isra achila mashmalei isra anala mashmalei. So, here, right, a candid rejection of Chizkiah's theory, and Rabbi Abba's as well. Then, when the Torah says, lo ye'achel, it just means don't eat it. That's all. Not don't eat it, don't benefit. He just disagrees with Chizkiah. He feels that the term lo ye'achel means simply don't eat. So typically, I'm a nevela. So the Gemara says, okay, so why don't we go to nevela? What do we learn from nevela? That the Torah tells us you're not allowed to eat nevela, and then the Torah goes out of its way to tell us, but you're allowed to benefit from nevela. Which means that the default is, you're not allowed to benefit from Isur Achila. So the Gemara says, Sovalak Rav Yehuda Damar Dvarim Kichzavam. So the Gemara says, no, nevela is not a good precedent because he holds Dvarim Kichzavam, which means the Torah was very specific in terms of what we're supposed to do in Nevela. Either gift it to the ger, or sell it to the guy. But in other words, it's not a blanket heter hana. So that can't serve as the precedent. So the Gemara says, okay, but remember, according to Rav Yehuda, because Nevela didn't serve as an option, so then why not go to the Pasuk of Treifa, where the Torah says, don't eat Treifa, but give it to the dog, which again speaks to the idea that the default setting would be you're not allowed to eat and you're not allowed to benefit. And the Torah had to go out of its way by Treifa to tell us that you are allowed to benefit. So why don't we use the Pasuk of Treifa? No, Pasuk of Treifa is taken up as well, because Rav Yehoshua ben Levi is of the opinion that Chulin Shenishkutu Bazara is an Isra Daraisa. You're not allowed to eat and you're not allowed to benefit from Chulin Shenishkutu Bazara. And how do I know that? From the Pasuk of Lakelf Tashel Chonoso. So now, basically strikes 1, 2, and 3. In other words, Rav Yehoshua ben Levi doesn't subscribe to the Lo Ye'achel. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi doesn't learn from the Pasuk of Nevela. And he doesn't also learn from the Pasuk of Treifa. So now, if we've knocked out all those paths, which are the ones we've had opened up before, so how do you arrive at the conclusion that Chametz bePesach is Asur B'Hanah? So now we're going to take a new route. So, Minayin. Dichsev. Kol Chatas Asher Yuvah Midama. We have a Pasuk that tells us the following. There are two types of Chatos. Karmen Chatas, Chatas HaPnimi, and a chatas hachitzona. Okay, don't get too confused with the terminology. Chatas hachitzona is basically regular chatas, standard chatas. Why do I call it chatas hachitzona? Because what's done with the carbon chatas, the standard carbon chatas, we shecht it, sprinkle the blood on the corners of the mizbeach, the outer mizbeach. Right, that's why it's called chatas hachitzona. And then the meat of this carbon is eaten. Eaten by whom? Kohanim. Okay. This is a standard chatas hachitzona. And then there's a chatas hapnima. Chatas hapnima, certain chataos, par helam davar, when the entire congregation sins based on an erroneous ruling of the Beis Din. There's a couple others as well. There, that chatas has a special status. It's chatas hapnima. What we do with the dam of the chatas hapnima, we take the blood and we sprinkle it not on the outer mizbeach, but rather take the blood, go into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Heichal, and sprinkle on the inner Mizbeach. What do we do with the meat of such an animal? Not eaten by the Kohanim, but rather it's burnt. Okay, and it's not burnt on the Mizbeach, by the way. It's burnt outside. So, where exactly? I'm not sure. Anyway, so those are your two different types of Chatos. Now, what if there's confusion? Meaning, what if a Kohen takes the blood of the Chatas HaChitzona and brings it into the Heichal? So that's what the Torah here speaks about. Kol Chatas Asher Yuva Midama. So the Chat, can someone tell me where, I know which parak it's in. What pasuk is in it? Let me see, read the pasuk inside. Kol Chatas Asher Yuva Midama, O Moed Lechaper Bekodesh, Lo Se'achel Ba'ish Tisarev. So the Torah says, that's it. You disqualified it. Meaning you confused your chatas, which Cohen really, obviously he shouldn't have done it. And most chatas anyway are chitzona. So, by the way, there is a chatas apanima that's brought annually. Right? Yom Kippur. Okay. So he shouldn't have done that. But if he did that, the Torah says, that's it, disqualification. So when the blood of the chatas chitzon is brought inside into the azara, the chatas now becomes disqualified. The Torah says, burn it, don't eat it. Actually, the other way around. Lo se'achel, beishti saref. And now the Gemara goes into a methodology. Drush. Shein tamalam beishti saref, oma tamalam beishti saref. Why does the Torah say you have to burn it? It seems to be not unnecessary. Soraf. So the Gemara says, first of all, I already know that. Now, how do I already know that? So the Gemara references psukim that come up later on in Sefer Vayikra. In Parsha Shmini, what happens at the end of the Parsha is Parsha Shmini describes the 8 days of inauguration. It closes on the first day of Nisan. First day of Nisan was a day when the Mishkan was finally inaugurated, but also a tragic day as well. Sons of Aaron die on that day, and karbanos also were disposed of and not eaten. It was a big day. Anyway, Moshe was very upset. Moshe says, "I don't understand why weren't these karbanos eaten." And Moshe goes on to explain to Aaron, "Look, if the blood of the karban chatos was brought inside the heichal, then I'd understand that you have to burn it." So already Moshe is alluding to this very same halacha, that if the blood of chatos chitzon is brought into the azara, so then you're not allowed to eat it. So basically what bothers now the Gemara, again, it's drush, is that the psukim in Parshat Tzav is speaking to an idea which is already mentioned in Parshat Shemini. So now that I have an extraneous pasuk, so basically now we're going to take it out of context and apply it to Kol HaTorah Kula. Don't eat. Now, don't eat what? What are we talking about? Meaning, I have this hanging lo ye'achel, or ba'esh tisaref. So what do I do with it? So v'imeno inyan la'achila, teneo inyan l'sarana. Now there's no, where am I going to put it by isurei achila? Meaning the Torah already tells me things I'm not allowed to eat. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to apply it to another one of the isurei achila, and we're going to compound it and say, it's not talking about isurei achila, but rather it's talking about isurei ana. Okay. This is a concept known as an eno inyan. If you want to see more about this concept of eno inyan, take a look at the top Rashi in Chavdal Amad Alf, the first Rashi. V'imeno inyan la'ostram ba'achila da'i isra achila b'kufay k'siv. In other words, if the Torah already says don't eat it, and I have this pasuk, so what am I going to do with it? Basically, apply it for another prohibition. And Rashi then goes on and writes, Zumida b'tora, davash alohutzrach l'gufo, taneu inyan l'inyan acher. If there's nothing that it can be taught regarding the simple pshat of the pasuk, so it must be referencing another. V'tamo davar l'davar, v'silmo davar l'davar, acher, v'chol hamidos halach l'mosh misinai. And by the way, and Rashi says, and where does all this come from? Because it does sound a little bit arbitrary. That we're going to take a pasuk regarding the chatas, and the pasuk describes the chatas chitzon, chatas pnima, and what happens when I confuse the two, and I bring the blood inside, and I shouldn't have, and the Torah says lo ye'achel. And what we're going to do, it's a two-step. We're taking that pasuk, we're removing it from the world of chatas, we're applying it to the world of chametz. We already know that chametz is asur ba'achila, so therefore it must be yisur hana. Right? In other words, we made two jumps, and who allowed us to make those jumps? So Rashi says that's halacha Moshe Mitzinai, meaning on our own we wouldn't have made those jumps.
Each individual case halacha Moshe Mitzinai that you know.
Yeah, how far?
The methodology is halacha.
Right. Now I tend to side. I'm sorry, Ben. I tend to side a little bit more with you, Stuart, in terms of the methodology being halacha Moshe Mitzinai, because as we're going to see through the remainder of today's Amud, some Amoraim are going to use the same methodology, but go to a different pasuk. So I'm more with you. I'm more inclined to agree with you. That's a methodology issue, and it's not the actual drasha itself.
Isn't it the
Gezer
Shava, because the
Yachad
is used in both?
No, it's not Gezer Shava. What we're doing is we're literally cutting and pasting. We're taking the pasuk in Parsha Tzav of Lo Se'achal Be'esh Tisarev, which has nothing to do with chametz. It has to do with the karban chatos. But since I know the conclusion,
our original yachal for that chiske.
No, but the Gemara says he doesn't agree. He doesn't. He
doesn't agree with you that. But can you hyperlink the two yachals?
But that's not how it's working. The way it's working, the methodology is: I'm taking this pasuk over here. I'm just cutting it out, and I'm now going to apply it to chametz on Pesach. And because I already know that chametz is asur ba'achila. So now I'm going to say, oh, is this pasuk? It's talking about ana. It's a different methodology.
Why do you choose to apply to chametz and other
right.
problems that exist somewhere there?
So I don't know the exact answer, and that's why I was considering that when Rashi says halacha Moshe Mitzinai, part of the halacha Moshe Mitzinai is tell us not only that we're allowed to cut it, but where we're allowed to send it to, or not where we're allowed to, but where we're supposed to send it to. That's why I'm considering, I don't know if I'm right, but I'm considering that maybe Rashi is, that's what Rashi means when he says, it's halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Meaning, how should we know where to send it to? And that's part of the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Although, as Stuart points out, maybe no. Maybe it's just the methodology, but in terms of the avenue and where and its destination, maybe the Chachamim do have the right to, you know, forward it. Based on whatever information they know. Yeah, correct. Agreed. It's hard. It's a difficult. This whole concept is difficult to digest. But we're trying. Okay. Ima kan b'sreifa af kol yisrin shebetar b'sreifa. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. We're cutting and pasting. I get it. But what happens with the chatzas hachitzona where the blood is brought inside? So the chatas becomes disqualified. But not only am I not allowed to eat it, the Torah is also very clear in its instruction. Burn it. So does that mean that any time I arrive at an Isra Achila, I'm not only not allowed to benefit from it, but I also have to burn it? Meaning, is that going to be the conclusion? So, Av Kol Yisroel Shebetorah B'Sreifa, Amakra, B'Korosh Ba'ish Yisareif, B'Korosh B'Sreifa Ve'in Kol Yisroel Shebetorah B'Sreifa. No. The din sreifa is only attached to kodesh. So if it has kodesh status, like a carbon chatos, or like any carbon, so then, yeah, the conclusion is going to be sreifa. But if it's a non-kodesh item, so that, yes, the pasuk of lo se'achel, but no, not the pasuk of beishi sreif. V'hai b'kosh beishi sreif l'achu dasa ha'mi b'ayle l'chadu Rabbi Shimon. And now the Gemara is going to deflect. Meaning, we thought that this pasuk in Parshat Tzav was totally available. And totally superfluous, and therefore we used it for the methodology of imeno inyan. The Gemara now notes, but that may not be true. The time we lived in the Rabbi Shimon Amar Bakosh Beishi Sareif Limit Al Chatzah Shesorf and Oso Bakodesh. Where do I burn it? So the Gemara says I burn it Bakodesh. Bakodesh usually is a reference to the Beit Hamikdash, the Azara area. It doesn't say it, but in other words, it's a limud. So limud chatzos shesorf nosa bekodesh ve'ein li ala zubavad. Now I know that when the chatzos becomes disqualified, so I now know specifically in this scenario where the blood is brought into the heichal. So now I know that A, I'm not allowed to eat it. B, I have to burn it, and where I have to burn it is bakodesh. So the Gemara says psule kachim kadoshim ve'imure kachim kalaminayin. How do I know for the remainder of psule hamukdashim? Meaning, give me any other scenario where a carbon becomes disqualified. Rashi goes through a host of examples. You can see Rashi, Divra Maschel Psule, where he goes through a host of other examples of carbons becoming disqualified. How do I know that, I know they need to be burnt, but how do I know that we're going to apply the same drasha of where they should be burnt? They should be burnt Ba'kodesh. Tamalamar Ba'kodesh Be'ishti Sarev. So that's the Bakosh Beish Yisrael, meaning this pasuk, which we already know is totally superfluous. And we know that because the chatas whose blood is brought into the heichal needs to be burnt, we learned that from Parsha Shmini, the conversation between Moshe and Aaron. So this pasuk is totally superfluous. So now I can apply it to all psule hamukdashim. So we are going to use the methodology of superfluous. I'm going to use it for something else, but not for chametz. So now, Amalei Rabbi Yonason, Rabbi Chami, Haikra Kamala. So Rabbi Yonason says, your Rebbe gets it from the following pasuk, meaning, okay, abandon ship. We're not going to go to this pasuk in Tzav. We're going to go to a different pasuk. We're going to use the same methodology, but the starting point is going to be a different part. Starting point. No, sir. The Torah, back in Parshas Tetzava, tells us that if you have any leftover kabbanis the next morning, so what do you do with it? You burn it. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat nosar. I already know that there's an isser not to eat nosar. Rashi goes through other psukim in Chumash that describes, I'm sorry, the Gemara goes through other psukim. The Torah says that you burn nosar in fire. Now, if I'm burning nosar in fire, obviously, I'm not allowed to eat it. So, Tanei Ingin L'Shar Yisroim Shebetorah. So, that means that there's other Yisroim that I'm not allowed to eat. Other Yisroim. V'imenu Ingin L'Achila, Tanei Ingin L'Yisarna. Now, the other Yisroim is a reference to Chametz. Chametz I'm not allowed to eat, but the Torah already tells me I'm not allowed to eat Chametz. Therefore, it's not going on the Achila, it's going on the Ana. So, again, same methodology. We find an extra Pasuk. We're going to take that Pasuk out of its context and move it over to chametz. And because we already know that chametz is also ba'achila, therefore we're going to say that the pasuk is a reference to hana. Imakan b'streifa of kol yisurin shebatorah b'streifa. Again, well, the conclusion my notes are is that I'm not allowed to eat it, and we have to burn it. Does that mean that same thing is true by chametz, and it's the same thing is true by any of the yisuri achila that's also ba'ana? Amakra v'sarav tas hanosar. No, so b'streifa vein kol yisur shebatorah b'streifa. The Torah says v'sarav to es hanosar. The nosar gets burned, but anything else which is asa b'achila v'ana does not need to be burnt. Fine. Okay, so that is attempt number two. Could be. And we're gonna walk into the same roadblock, which is yes, you're right, the pasuk is superfluous, but this pasuk generates another halacha. That here the Torah is giving us a lo sa'aseh, meaning that when I have no sar, it's not just that the Torah wants me to burn it, but it's a formal lav for me to eat no sar. Amar Abai, and how do I know that? We learn that from the pasuk of the imi v'aser mipsar meluim amalechem adaboker, that there's a formal lav for me to eat no sar. Okay, Amar Abai la'olam mikra kama ve'epoch. So now we have tried now on two occasions to explain where do I know the chametz is asabana. Again, just to quickly start from the beginning of today's daf. We don't, in other words, these group of Amoraim, led by Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, don't agree with Chizkiah of Lo Ye'achel, don't agree with Rabbi Abou that Lo Sochlu includes Achila and Ana, don't subscribe to the drushas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. So in other words, how does he know that Chametz is Asur Ba'ana? So he's using the methodology of Im Eino Inyan. It's now just a struggle in the Gemara, which pasuk is superfluous, and we can apply the methodology of Im Eino Inyan. We tried a pasuk in Sav, we tried another pasuk in Parshat Tzaveh, and we are struggling, we're looking. Right, because there are other usages for that pasuk. So Amar Abai La'olam Mikra Kama.
Today's guys, they were Tanayim. I don't understand why you had a machlokas for two blocks of Amarayim and Chizkiah.
You mean Rabbi Huda? You're talking about Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda?
Today was Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, yeah. Rabbi Shimon. They're all Tanayim.
No, I.
Rabbi Yonasan.
I humbly disagree.
Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is a Mishnayis.
No. No, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is an Amora. I have my crack research team look it up, and I'm pretty sure. No, I understand that Rashi is just explaining this procedure, this process of Imenu Inyan.
But it doesn't exist because they found other application for this
person. Okay. I mean, that's why Stuart said earlier that the Eim Eino Inyan is the halacha Moshe Misina, is that this is a process. This is a method. One of the methods. It is interesting, by the way. Didn't make it into Yud Gimel Midos. Okay, I don't have an explanation. Correct.
So far, we haven't seen that it's working.
No, but that's not totally true. It is working. It's in other words, but for other halachas, but not for our. We're focused today on one point. We want to just answer one simple question. Chametz is asur ba'ana. How do I know that? So what we're struggling with is a new method, meaning not the methods that we've been discussing from Chaf Aleph through Chaf Gimel, which is Ye'achel. Lo sochlu, not that, a new method. And as we're going to see, it's a struggle. Meaning this method is not clear. I said from the beginning of today's daf, it's not a clean road, it's very circuitous, and there's a good chance that we're going to get lost. but that's what the Gemara is struggling with today. So, kosher because pasul, I'm sorry. Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, I'm going to try to go back and do tchiyas amesim to that first pasuk. So, Amar Abaye la'ola mikra kama. Let's go back to the first pasuk, meaning the pasuk in Sav, the pasuk of Kol Chatzos Asher Yuva Midama, Ba'esh tisareif, lo se'achel. Again, I did that again. Lo se'achel ba'esh tisareif. And flip it, meaning, delichso ba'esh tisareif, lo by lo se'achel. Meaning, can't the Torah just simply have said ba'esh tisareif? Yeah, meaning it could have. Meaning, once the Torah tells me burn it, I get it. I'm not allowed to eat it. Ma'atam alamar lo se'achel. Now, as far as the actual pasuk itself, in terms of what's trying to communicate to me, that I'm not allowed to eat it, and I'm supposed to burn it, I know both of those points already. I know it from the dialogue between Moshe and Aaron. So, so therefore, I can now apply to all Easter in the Torah. And in other words, and now that I have it superfluous, so teach it to me l'chol yisurim shebetorah. And imalcham b'sreifah of kol yisurim shebetorah b'sreifah. And again, the Gemara just simply reiterates, what about the fact that here with the chatas hachitzona, where the blood is brought inside, that needs to be burnt. Maybe everything needs to be burnt? Okay, the Gemara says no, because it's specific to Nosar. So the Gemara says, well, can't you make the following argument? Mimi, we have the extra words of Lo Se'achel. Good. And you want to tell me now that Lo Se'achel is totally superfluous and allows me, therefore, the opportunity to take it away from the Chatas, move it to Chametz. We know Chametz is Asur Ba'Achila, therefore apply to the Yisur Hana. You want to do all that, but can't we say simply that maybe the Lo Se'achel is just there to provide a lav? That if a person were to eat the Chatas, where the blood was brought inside, he violates the lav. The Im of the Rav Elazar ain't looking at lav Shebechlalos. And what about Rav Elazar? Well, that's lav Shebechlalos, meaning that was a very generic pasuk that was described in Parsha Shmini, in the dialogue between Aaron and Moshe. And lav shebechlalos, if we have a very generic pasuk that speaks to many ideas, so that's not a specific lav. That will not be counted as one lav. So now, we're going to go to our third pasuk of the morning. So in other words, not the pasuk in Parshat Tzav, not the pasuk in Parshat Tzitzaveh, but now we're going to have a third attempt this morning of a pasuk in the Torah, which we're going to prove to be superfluous, cut it out, apply it to Chametz. We already know Chametz is also Ba'achila, therefore Nisar Na. So pasuk says, V'habasar shi'iga b'chol tamei lo ye'achal b'eish yisareif. We are now speaking about a carbon that becomes tamei. Could someone just quickly shortcut me to the pasuk? No, Vayikra Zion. I'm here. Good, thank you. V'abasar she'iga b'chol tameh. If any meat of a carbon becomes tameh, lo ye'achel, don't eat it. Ba'ish yisareif, burn it. V'abasar kol tar yochal basar. And then the pasuk ends off by saying, and oh, by the way, if you're tar and the meat's tar, then everything's good. Okay. She'ein tam alamar lo ye'achel, ma tam alamar lo ye'achel, amino in legufo. Now, in terms of eating carbon that's tameh, got that already. Now, how do I know that I'm not allowed to eat carbon that's tamei? I know that based on the kavachomer. Ma mi ma'aser akal, based on a pasuk much later on in Chumash, and a pasuk in Parshas Kisavo. The pasuk says, lo achalti ba'oni. Before that. Right, lo bi'arti mimenu b'tamei. Right, I didn't eat ma'aser sheni in a state of tumah. The Torah says that when Maaser Sheni becomes tummy, you're not allowed to eat it. And that's Maaser Sheni, which has a very light state of Kedusha. And if I'm not allowed to eat the Maaser Sheni that's tummy, I'm certainly not allowed to eat a carbon that's tummy. The Gemara goes to the Kavachomer. Uma Maaser HaKal HaMator Lo Biyarti Mimena B'tameh Basar Kodesh HaChomer Lo Kol Shekein. If I can't eat Maaser Sheni that's tummy, I for sure can't eat a carbon that's tamei. V'chi temein mazir min adin. Now, maybe the argument you're going to provide for me is, okay, that's a kavachomer. That's great. But we're talking about punishing the person who's eating a carbon that's tamei. For punishment, a kavachomer is insufficient. Ein onshin min adin. We have a general rule. We say time and again that the kavachomer, the logic may be a good logic, but corporal punishment cannot be meted out based on a kavachomer. The pasuk has to say it. So the Gemara says, so if so, so how can I then use a kal v'chomer to punish somebody who eats carbon that's tamei? Hekeshahu. The Gemara says it's not just a kal v'chomer; it's really a hekesh. Dechsev lo sucha le'achol b'sharecha masa degancha v'tirosh v'tzarecha uvechoros bikarecha. The pasuk in Parshas Re'eh lumps together Meiser Sheni and carbon. So now the two are connected behekesh. So just like Meiser Sheni, I can't eat while in the state of while the Meiser Sheni is tameh. So too, when it comes to carbon, I cannot eat carbon in the state of tumah. Now, good, we've established I'm not allowed to eat carbon while it's tameh. Now I go back to Parshat Tzav. I go back to the Pasuk Perek Zayin Pasuk Yates, and the Torah over there tells me, oh, by the way, when the carbon comes tameh, you're not allowed to eat it. I knew that already. So matam alam lo yachal imenu inyan legufa taneu in lecholi sfer shabatorah v'imenu inyan laachil taneu inyan hanaa. So again, imenu inyan. So we're going to take that pasuk, we're going to apply it to chametz, and we're going to conclude that chametz is also ba'ana. Imakan b'sreifa av kol yisrin shabator b'sreifa. Again, the same question. Yeah, when carbon becomes tummy, you know I'm supposed to burn it. So should that be true by chametz as well? And for that matter, any yisuri achila? Amakra hanosa, hanosa b'sreifa, main kol yisrin shabator b'sreifa. And so therefore, and the hanosa tells me no, only kodesh gets burnt. Amakra hanosa, hanosa b'sreifa, main kol yisrin shabator b'sreifa, sorry. Amale Ravina la Ravashi, the aim alav alav vishne lavin. Maybe all the Torah is trying to do is just give us a second lav, and the idea of multiple lavin, it's not such a foreign idea. In fact, not only not foreign, we have it. It's precedented where we have sometimes one act which has multiple lavin. The example, the classic example, Gemara Makos also. And we just saw this in Erevin. Amar Abaya Achal Putisa Loka Arba. If I eat a putisa, a water bug, so you're subject to four sets of makas. Go through Rashi. I'm not going to go through it right now. Where Rashi actually takes us through the psukim. Namala, if you eat an ant, loka chamesh, you're subject to five sets of makas. Tzira, if you eat a flying bug, loka sheish, you get six sets of makas. And again, Rashi goes through all the psukim. Anyway, so the idea of multiple makas, it's out there. So why not simply suggest that the Pasuk in Parshat Tzav is there to inform us that if somebody eats carbon while the carbon is tameh, you're not only subject to one set of malchus, but rather two sets of malchus. Can't that be? So the Gemara says, look, it could be. But if given an option, option A, just add another lav. Option B, use this Pasuk for another drasha. Option B is preferable over option A, if there's an option B. So in the case of the bugs, apparently there was no other option. Meaning, there are multiple psukim that speak to the iser of eating bugs. Fine. So in other words, so there we have no conclusion but multiple lavin, which results in multiple malchus. But when it comes to our pasuk about Basar Kodesh becoming tameh, and somebody eating the Basar Kodesh, we have a drush opportunity. We'll go with the drasha opportunity. Now the Gemara says, as long as we're here, we're going to darshan other aspects of the pasuk. What do we do with that? With the beginning of the pasuk, wood and lavona, frankincense. They're not foods. They're subject to tumah. Unusual. Agreed. Unusual, right? What's what we call the chibas hakodesh that we talked about earlier in the parak, end of the first parak. Anyway, va'abasa kotar yochabasa d'seif alamali. And again, as long as we're here in the pasuk, just finish up darshing the pasuk. What's going on? The last part of that pasuk you test l'rabas imurim. So the Gemara says imurim that become tamei. One were to eat it, he'd be subject to makas. We already have a pasuk that tells us that one is not allowed to eat the imurim. Imurim, the insides of the animal, the parts of the animal that go up onto the mizbeach. Already we know the Torah prohibits it. You want to generate that from this pasuk over here? So the Gemara says different. Over there, it's talking about A person who's tamei who eats karban. Person whose tamei eats karban, serious offense. Iser karis. A person who's tahor, who eats basar tamei, lighter offense. By lighter I mean, it's only a lav. It's not an iser karis. So there are two psukim, but each one's talking about two different isurim. Let's just finish. Let's just do a little bit more for this morning. We'll finish up. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol isurim shebatorah in lokan aleihem ela derech achilasan. Okay, this really is a new topic. I'll just start it very quickly. But before we do that, okay, that's it. That's a wrap. Okay, and that was a long wrap, meaning basically the entirety of the discussion, starting on the bottom of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis to this point right over here, is perhaps there's another way to arrive at the conclusion that Chametz is Asur Ba'ana, not the Rabbi Abba approach, not the Chizkiyah approach, but rather this approach of Imeinu Inyan, using a methodology in the Torah where I'm going to find the superfluous pasuk, cut it out, apply it to Chametz. I know Chametz is Asur Ba'achila, so therefore gives me another layer, another level, and that it's an Isra Hana. Where that superfluous pasuk is, it took the Gemara nearly the entire daf today to locate. And even after location, there it could be.
It didn't work.
I would almost say inconclusive. Although the last, I'm saying the last pasuk, the Gemara did not challenge that last pasuk that we just quoted. If we're not agreeing with Rabbi Abba, we're not agreeing with Chizkiyah, so we get it from Parsha Tzav, Perek Zion, Pasuk Yutes, where the Torah says that if you eat Basar Tameh, if you find Basar Tameh, you're not allowed to eat Lo Yechel Ba'ishi Saref. We already know that it's prohibited to eat Basar Tameh. What do I do with the Lo Yechel? Cut it out and apply it to another Isser. Notably Chametz. I know Chametz is already Asur Ba'achila, so therefore it gives me another layer. That's if you want a summary statement of the entire discussion. Okay, let's start with Rav Yochanan tomorrow. Okay, really new topic of discussion. Okay, another major topic coming up in tomorrow's daf, and that is Derech Achila, Derech Hana'a. Okay, this is just basic stuff. I told you, second parak, very popular parak in the yeshiva.